So hi, I'm Martin Jones. I work in ACES, primarily with game students and animation students. And a lot of the stuff that I do is basically drawing and painting based, so it's 2D work. Sometimes it goes into video and is used in animation. And one of the things that I found was giving people feedback, written feedback specifically about images, was just a very kind of difficult thing to do. Partly for myself, I'm a bit dyslexic. A lot of our students tend to be dyslexic, so getting written information about images was just not really working very well. So I started to use live paint overs and to give them feedback that way. And initially, that thing about complexity of writing out even simple tasks, describing an image and having to say what you're doing with it, it gets long-winded. So this is fast and specific feedback. And initially, this is something that I was doing for a while. So I'll get their image and use various ways of kind of giving them information. So sometimes I'd scribble on it, sometimes I'd type on it. And show kind of lines of things like eye pathways, so they can see where their image can be corrected. And this supports some of the learning that they will have gone through before they've done this. So they learn about composition, eye level, they learn how to draw in certain ways, and use kind of underlying rules to construct imagery. But it's quite difficult to get right. It's quite complex stuff. And I find that doing it like this was okay, but then finding the Screen-O-Matic software has really changed it to something that's a lot more kind of user friendly. So with the kind of drawn over stuff, I would then send that back with an audio file. So I'd explain it as well, and then have a few notes, but it was still limited into how much you could get over within that kind of format. If we then just look at this is using the screencast.
The other thing to kind of look at within this image is the clouds that you've done here are kind of a bit vague. So maybe if you use a kind of a more distinctly cloudy brush, by which I mean something like these brushes. And you can either get cloud brushes off the internet or get some good photo, black and white photos of clouds, select it and save it as a brush itself. So if you use something like this, then again, put it on a layer and then you can pick the colour that you want to start with and then just work that in so it's still got that kind of cloudy suggestion, but you're letting the brush do the work.
Okay, one of the things with that is that it gives not just the information that I want to get across, but it also there's a demonstration of how to achieve that. And for me, that's a really valuable thing because I want to try and get as close to being there with them and watching them do the work as possible. And you can utilise this stuff, and it has been used quite effectively on a lot of sites. People sign up to do kind of distance learning. And it's quite a big industry, but what that often lacks is that ability to be able to sit with someone and watch them do it. And this is as close as I can get to that. So I feel that this is a really kind of good step forward. I've had really positive response from students, just because partly they like that ability to be able to rewind it and go back and rewatch it. And it's a similar experience. You can get stuff on YouTube that kind of shows this, but it's specifically about their work and where they're going wrong and how they can improve it. So the other kind of byproduct of this, I thought, was often students will struggle on similar concepts. They'll get some things, but there are things that are just more complex, or just they might understand, but when it comes to do it, they're struggling. So if you can do that for a number of students, you can then build up a library and you can refer students back to, do you mean this? Do you mean this example? So as well as the personal approach to that, they're also accessing things and they're seeing how other people have come up with solutions. because this is new, I think that's going to work. But I think hopefully in doing that, it'll be able to kind of add to it, and students will be able to create their own information. So there's a lot of potential within doing this. And also, I kind of got the idea that it would give me an idea of where students are struggling. So it'll be able to be used to kind of indicate which bits of teaching need either better instruction or more instruction or that kind of thing. One of the things that when I first started doing the audio, I had it in my mind that I had to prepare a speech, I had to make notes, and I had to rehearse it and then send it to the student. And the feedback I got from students, but also from Colin Pons and Anne Doncaster, did an LTA project about audio feedback, and they were just saying, oh, they love it when the cat comes in, or they love it when you can hear the radio on, or they don't mind if you stumble a bit or if you think about something before you make that response. They actually like that, partly because it seems a genuine response, and partly because they're quite forgiving like that. If they're getting the information, they're not. It doesn't have to be crystal clear, which is great, because at one point I did go back and edit out all the ums and ahs on the video, and it took ages. But you kind of get used to doing it, so you don't do so many. But they don't mind, you can get away with quite a lot. It's a real godsend for me doing that. So I think the software has been used. I think there's been a number of people that have been utilising this software, and so I'll put the information on there in case people kind of needed to see. But it's available for everyone throughout the university. I've put the password on. I'm not sure if I should have done that, but think it's okay. This is what you get when you come over. It's very simple to use. It's really kind of user friendly. The thing that is problematic at the moment is the file sizes quite quickly become quite large. So 15 minutes can be around about 30 megabytes. And I think it increases by the amount of information you put on it. So if you're showing people different pathways and sketching, that increases. It's not insolvable. I think there's a couple of ways of doing it. You can limit yourself to 5-minute slots, send that in 3 emails. But I think Dropbox and Google Drive are both kind of useful. The problem there might be if you're using things like GradeCenter, sometimes they can struggle with big files. I think there's been work done on that to improve that. It's just that when if you go outside of the kind of official university things about getting receipts and things like that. Any questions and comments? One of the things about it is that I find it incredibly quick to do. I find it really a natural thing to do. It's almost like it doesn't seem like I'm working doing marking. I think when it comes to having 60 students all sending in work at the same time, I might change my mind on that. But I think it works well as a kind of final assessment. But I think the real value is if I can encourage students to send me stuff whilst they're doing it, as they've done it. Again, that's going to be a management issue when they're all sending me stuff. But hopefully it encourages them to not leave it to the last minute. So if they know they can get good feedback in week 5, hopefully they'll do it and we can spread it out. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. Right, thank you. Anybody got any questions to either of our presenters?
I've got a comment.
A comment?
Which is, I think it's fantastic. It's going to, having teenage sons who spend a lot of time on YouTube learning how to do Minecraft properly. It was exactly like a tutorial for Minecraft. If you've got kids of that age coming through to university, but they've got something which is individualised to their work, It fits perfectly with what they're using anyway to learn about things they're interested in, which is, I think, to be applauded. The other side of that is the assessment journey. And it's something I'm not directly involved in it, but I'm feeding into it as an academic, and something that we keep on to them about consistently is that things like this, that those files aren't that big.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
But if it's 15 minutes of video content, that's not unreasonable.
No.
And if they want us to do that, they have to do that. providers for those facilities.
Yeah. And I think it will come. It's becoming easier and easier. But
so.
Hopefully, if there's then a job at the end to manage a file to send it to someone, it adds to the time and that all builds up. So the ideal is that you could get it on live, you could do it live, and then just save it and it'll be sent straight to the student. And hopefully, I think it's something that students will share with each other as well. You know, talking about, so, you know, this is what he said to me. You'll send it on, and so that might limit the amount of times you have to do that. I think that's the going back to the kind of library idea as well, of building up stuff.
I'm always really aware of like tone as well when I'm writing written feedback, so something like this would really help with that.
That's my way. I do some audio feedback, and I realised straight away I was not going to do a script, and I wasn't going to do the ums and ahs because my students do audio recordings anyway. But it might be different than yours, but when they're writing, I'm trying to say, and on page 5 you did that, you know, how stupid can you be? That was the hardest bit for me. And then I listened and it was this bland talking because I didn't want to do that. Because you've got quite a nice voice. And sounds
not my
friendly.
Voice. Never sounds like my
so
voice. Yeah.
Is that a problem for you?
I don't think so.
That's so totally stupid.
No, I think that I do, but then that's a matter of if I was writing it, I would really think about the tone then. So it's replacing that really.
Yeah. But that's hard if you're only going to do it in that 3 or 5 minutes. You've only got that. You don't want to be stopping and thinking, oh, how can I do that? Because then you lose that authenticity.
Yeah.
Don't
I mean,
you?
I do. I think there's always a balance between you. You do kind of look at it and think about what you're going to say before you do it.
Yeah.
And then as you're doing it, often things will come to me.
You can pause it, can't you?
Oh yeah, you can pause it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can pause it.
I do quite a lot of audio feeds. I just imagine they're in front of me.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Then it's what
yeah.
you say to someone's face.
Yes.
Because
that's a good idea.
That's the beauty of it for the students. They feel that you're actually talking to them and you're in the room with them. Like, you know, that's so personalised.
Yeah.
So...
I think there is. There is always going to be some students who don't like it, and I think that might be, you know, some students don't like written feedback.
Mm-hmm.
They don't they chuck it straight away. But I think that is something that might be discussion with them. If they say I don't want it doing that, like then they get a more traditional method.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that people come back and say that.
Not directly for this. I've not really been doing it that long, but I know from audio feedback, some people say I didn't like it. And that might be, yeah, I think some people might read tone differently or something.
I can see that. It's just, it seems, for this kind of thing, it seems the perfect solution to me.
Mm.
You're actually doing something and explaining it to them at the same time. So I completely get that putting it into words, that must be...
Yeah, yeah it's
yeah.
I mean, if you go to like a Photoshop help file, which I've got better over years, but to describe how to do a very simple action, it's do this. It's like me writing a cup. How to make a cup of tea. It takes forever.
And it's less effective.
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't.
Right. Thank you very much.